ਜਬਿਹਾਰੀ ਜਯੋ ਰਾਧਾ ਮਾਧਵ ਕੁੰਜ ਬਿਹਾਰੀ ਜਾਇ ਗੋਪੀ ਜਨਵਲਭ ਗਿਰੀਵਰ ਧਾਰੀ ਜਯ ਗੋਪੀ ਜਨਵਲਭ ਗਿਰੀਵਰ ਧਾਰੀ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ 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 ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯೋ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯೋ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ
ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮ ಪರಿವರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಶ್ವತ್ರ ಶಿಷ್ಯ ದಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಅಭಯ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿನಾಥ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಜಗದ್ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವರಿಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glorious assembled devotees. All glorious assembled devotees. All glorious assembled devotees. All glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 9, entitled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, text number 46. Tasya Nirharana Adini Samparate Sampare Tasya Bhargava Yudhishthiraha Karayitva Murutam Dukitaha Abhavat. Tasya Niraharanadini Sampare Tasya Bhargava Yudhishthiraha Karayitva Muhurtam Dukhito Abhavat. Tasya Niharanadini Sampare Tasya Bhargava Yudhishthiraha Karayitva Muhurtam Dukhito Abhavat. Tasya Niharanadini Sampare Tasya Bhargava Yudhishthiraha Karayitva Muhurtam Dukhito Abhavat. Saniraharanadini Sampare Tasya Bhargava Yudhishthiraha Karayitva Murito Bhavat. Tasya Niraharanadini Sampare Tasya Bhargava Yudhishthiraha Karayitva Muritam Dukhito Bhavat. Tasya Niraharanadini Sampare Tasya Bhargava Yudhishthiraha Karayitva Murutam Dukhito Bhavat. Ladies, Tasya Niraharanadini Sampare Tasya Bhargava Yudhishthiraha Karayitva Muritam Sukito Bhavan. Tasya, his Niharana Adini, funeral ceremony, Sampare Tasya, of the dead body, Bhargava, descendant of Bhrigu, Yudhishthiraha, Maharaj Yudhishthir, Karayitva, having performed it, Murutam, for a moment, Dukitaha, sorry, Abhavat, became. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O descendant of Bhrigu, Shaunaka, after performing funeral rituals for the dead body of Bhishma Dev, Maharaj Yudhishthir was momentarily overtaken with grief. Purport. Bhishma Dev was not only a great family head of Maharaj Yudhishthir, but also he was a great
philosopher and friend to him, his brothers and his mother. Since Maharaj Pandu, the father of the five brothers headed by Maharaj Yudhishthir, had died, Bhishma Dev was the most affectionate grandfather of the Pandavas and caretaker of the widow daughter-in-law Kunti Devi. Although Maharaj Dhritarashtra, the eldest uncle of Maharaj Yudhishthir, was there to look after them, his affection was more on the side of his 100 sons headed by Duryodhana. Ultimately, a colossal clique was fabricated to deprive the five fatherless brothers of the rightful claim of the kingdom of Hastinapur. There was a great intrigue common in imperial palaces, and the five brothers were exiled to the wilderness. But Bhishmadev was always a sincerely sympathetic well-wisher, grandfather, friend, and philosopher to Maharaj Yudhishthir, even up to the last moment of his life. He died very happily by seeing Maharaj Yudhishthir to the throne. Otherwise, he would have long ago quitted his material body instead of suffering agony for the undue sufferings of the Pandavas. He was simply waiting for the opportune moment because he was sure and certain that the sons of Pandu would come out victorious in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, as his lordship Sri Krishna was their protector. As a devotee of the Lord, he knew that the Lord's devotee cannot be vanquished at any time. Maharaj Yudhishthir was quite aware of all these good wishes of Bhishma Dev, and therefore he must have been feeling the great separation. He was sorry for the separation of a great soul and not for the material body which Bhishma Dev relinquished. The funeral ceremony was a necessary duty, although Bhishma Dev was a liberated soul. Since Bhishma Dev was without issue, the eldest grandson, namely Maharaj Yudhishthir, was the rightful person to perform this ceremony. It was a great boon to Bhishma Dev that an equally great son of the family undertook the last rites of a great man. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Advaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is a little sad part of the narration of Bhishma Dev. This great grandsire of the Kurus, one of the most illustrious characters in the entire Mahabharata, who played so much of a vital role in the events that took place in the entire Mahabharata. The son of Ganga, one of the eight Vasus, disciple of Parashuram, the one who was blessed by Shantanu, his father, with immortality or Ichhamrityu. The most powerful warrior of his time, that great, great personality, who is for all of us the Mahajan in Bhakti, has finally breathed his last. He is now silenced and what is happening is something which happens to all of us is going through the rituals of the funeral ceremony. Of course, it was very grand and very royal, very pompous, befitting his extremely exalted position. He was revered and worshipped by the Kurus and the Pandavas both, because he was a common grandfather to both of them. So his role has been defined by Prabhupada, what various roles he played. First of all, on behalf of Krishna, he was the well-wisher of the Pandavas. Even though Krishna was accessible, available, and to the Pandavas, yet when he was not there, when he was in Dwarka, though Krishna has not stayed with the Pandavas all the time, he is performing his so-called duties. Krishna has no duties to perform. Namam Karmani Limpanti, he has no work to perform. But yet he was doing his, playing his role as a king in Dwarka. So when he was not there, Krishna, being so kind to his devotees, always worried. Krishna is always worried. Even though we call Krishna as Atmaram and always blissful, and which is also true, and yet within his heart there is a constant worry. And what is that? The welfare of his devotees. That bothers him. How my devotee is doing? And this point of time, Krishna was always worried about what's happening in Hastinapur, because things were so dynamic and his devotees were really, really, really suffering. Emotionally, politically, and financially, they had nothing. They had powerless. People who are potentially the kings of the planet and not even a hut to stay. They were on the roads, they were in the jungles, right? They didn't have a house of their own, nothing. So Krishna was obviously very worried about them. And therefore Krishna arranged that in his absence, Vidura and Bhishma Dev would be the caretakers on his behalf. Both of them are Mahajans. Both of them are the Lord's eternal associates and they would take care. So he was, for the Pandavas, undoubtedly the most shelter-giving personality. When tormented by so much of problems, you need shelter. Somebody you have to talk to, somebody will give you, you can put your head on the lap and cry. Bhishmadev was like that. He was such a loving person. The Pandavas went and cried to him, expressed their hearts to him. Kunti Devi cried to him so many times. But he was always there to give them solace. Love. Somebody whom they trusted was theirs. Even though he was apparently the opposite side, but he was theirs. They knew for sure that he feels for us, he prays for us, he cares for us, and he will always do what is beneficial for us. How rare is this relationship in this world? Where do we get such people like Bhishma Dev who will be so much sheltering and caring? Very, very rare. But he has died in apparently in his life, he was not a very happy person because he had to do things which he didn't want to do. Krishna put him into a position, as Acharyas explained, that he was to exhibit to the world a unique example which was has not been shown by anybody else in the history of and the Bhakti Shastras, that a person can be the most powerful person on the planet, one could almost defeat even Parashuram. If the war had gone on further, then Akashvani came and some celestial personalities, they said, okay, he is your guru, ultimately you have to, you know, remember that relationship. Even though you are equal to him, 28 days it went on back and forth. And Parashuram could not defeat Bhishma Dev. So, being so powerful, and yet his role in the world was to show that if you are very, very powerful and yet you are on the opposite side of dharma, if you are against Krishna's devotees, if you are siding with the adharma side, then you will be destroyed no matter who you are, however great you may be. You must taste the smell of the earth with your nose down. You'll be chopped to pieces and will have to lie down horizontal. So that was the example given by Krishna. So he was playing his role perfectly well. But through all this role, he was always an unhappy man because he didn't want to be like this. He knew what is right, what is wrong, but he couldn't do what he wanted to do. He had some vows which were obstructing him and like that. Circumstantially, he was bound. And yet, Prabhupada cares to mention here that he died a happy man. And that's very important, to die happily, right? Prabhupada, our beloved Gurudev, we don't say the word died, we say the left his body. Very happy. Because in more than expected way, Saraswati Thakur must have been happy to see that his mission, which was started by him, was flowering, flourishing in just a few years, almost just a decade, to practically every city of the planet. And had even not even got out of India to any great extent during his presence. So Prabhupada left his body very, very happy to see his disciples. What are the joy of Bhajishma Dev? To see that now finally this Maharaj will be on the throne of the world. Of course, Bhishma Dev always knew this, that this will be the logical end of the battle, because Krishna is there. It is instructive. Many things are instructive in this beautiful long purport. But it says over here that he was sure that the sons of Pandu would come out victorious in battle of Kurukshetra, as his lordship Krishna was the protector. Even if you are the strongest archer in the world, even if you are the most powerful mace man, Gadadhari, in the world, no matter who you are, we can see here, everyone needs some protection. That's important, right? Generally, we would tend to think that if somebody is very powerful, why does he need protection? Balwan hai, very. But we can see that Pandavas were the most powerful five personalities, and yet they sought protection. They sought shelter. So that brings us to the vital issue of understanding that how the need for shelter, no matter who you are, is intrinsic to our nature. In the night, starting from simple things, you need a shelter of the mosquito net. Because you don't have mosquito net around you, your sleep is fired. Right? Simple thing like that. Shelter is required at all times in our lives. The need for food, the need for water, the need for a home. A home. People who travel all over the world, rich people, they stay in 5-star, sometimes 7-star hotels. But it is said that they still hanker to come back to their home and sleep on their bed. In their own homes. Right? Even though they are having the most luxurious places to stay. The shelter of their own home.
In fact, many people do not, they will travel in the daytime and night. They say night they will come back to the home because I need my home for, I know what's everywhere and like that. They don't get adjusted to a new home, however beautiful it may be. Shelter of the home. Why do we need shelter at all times? And what types of shelters are there? One, of course, physical shelter. As I said, the home, the clothes. Sweltering heat is there. You need sun goggles or a hat, right? Or some sunscreen agent. Somebody is very skin sensitive. They get sunburns. They get burnt. So they need a shelter of some sunscreen lotions. Physical shelter. Otherwise the skin really gets burnt, become red, inflamed. Physical shelter required. People marry. When we ask young boys and girls, why do you want to marry? Right? Not everybody wants to marry just for physical pleasures. That's a byproduct. But people really marry for emotional shelter. They need that. So the institute of marriage does provide physical shelter because it provides, you know, once you get married, you have to have your own home, a car, some vehicle, like that. It does provide, but mainly it's for providing emotional shelter. Someone can understand your emotions, you can share your emotions, you can cry, you can laugh, you can joke, and you won't be really, held for whatever you're doing. You'll still be loved, no matter what you are and who you are, and you'll still be loved, because there is an element of unconditional love. On a spiritual platform, all of us who are practicing sadhakas, just like the body is exposed to the elements and therefore it needs shelter from the heat and the rain, and the moment it starts raining, you will find people start running, right, on the roads. You need a shelter. It's under a tree, under some shop, under some place, under somewhere. You need shelter. You don't say, it's raining, and you just walk. Some people will do that, but more or less everyone start running and look for a taxi or look. You want to take some shelter. You don't want to really get wet, right? From the elements, you take shelter. So, and the point is whether we are the element of vulnerability. Physically, we are vulnerable to the elements, correct? Emotionally, we are even more vulnerable. Because physically, you can take a nice house or something and stay in that. That's in your control. Emotionally, you are not in control because how people react to you, how they speak to you, deal with you, right? It's not so much dependent on what you are. People have a choice. They may love you, hate you, agree with you, disagree with you, you know, fight with you, you know. They may do anything to you. So it's such a difficult thing, right? People's dealing with us, how they deal with us. Well, the Kauravas, the Pandavas had, you know, no control over the behavior of Duryodhana at all. He was free to behave the way he was behaving, right? So emotionally they were very, very vulnerable, the Pandavas. So we also are emotionally vulnerable. So even that is higher. But what a devotee wants to even go deeper into, and of course when we have our vulnerability and emotionally, then we may take shelter of, as I said, a family. We may take shelter of the social infrastructure. You create friends around you. Because friends are there for sheltering you from emotional conflict. We take shelter of parents, shelter from emotional conflict. Right? And some who are not so privileged may use the wrong methods of shelter. They may take shelter of alcohol. Right? Because in an emotional turmoil, life is going difficult, wife and husband are fighting, something happened in the family, where is the shelter, no shelter, take a bottle and drink it. Right? So that is another type of perverted shelter. However, while these things are part of a reality of life, what a sadhaka is even more concerned Though obviously we don't neglect the first and second, physical and emotional, because that's survival. Is our spiritual vulnerability. Why is it that Lord Chaitanya, when he is going through the in a South Indian tour, his hands raised, he's a sannyasi now, and Krishnadas is following him with his external garments, kamandalu, and Mahaprabhu with raised hands is going from village to village. What is his constant song? What is he constantly chanting? It's very instructive. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshama. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Pahima. Right? Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava. Rakshamam, Pahimam. Very powerful. We need to think about this. Why is a sannyasi who is not bothered about maintenance, right? If you bother maintenance, you would be staying in the house of Saram Bhattacharya. It's very comfortable there. And Rajpurohit, nice house, nice servants, and everything was taken care of. Why would he take the rigorous life against the will of Nityananda Prabhu and Mukunda and everybody else there who was there? Why would he take the rigorous life of a sannyasi walking through these roads, the same roads which we walk through without any slippers, right in the hot sun, through the forests? Who would want to do such a thing? It sounds very impractical and unnecessary. But he did that. Exposed to the elements, no house, no proper food, no drinking water, nothing. One set of clothes. Such a difficult life. When you think about Mahaprabhu playing the harp, he's the supreme enjoyer of all enjoyers. What a difficult life the Lord led. And he's saying, Rakshamam, Pahimam Krishna, Rakshamam, Pahimam. The word maintenance, Pahimam means maintain me. Rakshamam means protect me. So let's look at these two words. Why would the Lord call out constantly to Krishna and to Lord Ram? Raghava is the descendant of Raghu dynasty. Ram is called as Raghava, or also called as Raghu Nandana, descendant of the Raghu dynasty. Raghukula. Then you say about maintenance. Like we have our, we are all staying in different buildings, societies, complexes. We have a maintenance which comes to us every 3 months. Right? We pay 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, depending on what facilities you are enjoying, which is a combination of sinking fund and, you know, water supply and municipal tax and federation tax and whatever, all these various. It is all your maintenance charge. That means if you want to live in that place, you have to keep on every 3 months giving out that amount. Right? And that's how you will be maintained in your home. If son is living in America and parents are staying here, old parents staying here, because he's concerned about his parents. Oh, my parents are pensioners. They are sick. Oh my God, I can't stay with them because life is such so difficult and I have to earn some money. So he sends them what? Every month he sends them X amount of Lakshmi for their maintenance. So when you keep on investing some money, something into things of your area of concern, then it was maintenance. So what we do every day, my dear Lord, please maintain me, please give me the strength to keep investing my mati, my shakti, my buddhi, my samarthya into my spiritual maintenance. Maintenance is not like this. You have to keep on. It is not, if you have to keep on putting. Nothing, you know, if you have maintenance means, you clean the house once, it won't be cleaned. You have to every day come and clean this. After 10 years, if you don't clean this place will become become ruins. You go to some places, they're not maintained, hospitals, old buildings, ruined, lack of maintenance. Right? If they're maintained, it can look fresh and nice, wonderful. Right? So many monuments are old now, but they're maintained well. They have now become 5-star hotels. Forts of various Maharajas are now 5-star hotels. In Jaipur you go, there are so many 5-star hotels. Yeah, they look royal, they look beautiful. Ah, that's why? Because of great maintenance. So if our spiritual life has to shine, be vibrant, it requires maintenance. But once maintained, it has to be protected also. So rakshamam is also necessary. The concept of protection comes from Sripad Rupa Goswami, who mentioned that the Bhaktivedanta beej needs to be fenced, because he compared the Bhaktivedanta beej to a nice little seed or a small little sapling which grows. And saplings are very vulnerable. Why is that? Given that sapling is always vulnerable, because nobody can walk over a tree. Nobody walks over trees. Right? But you can walk over a small sapling, just off the ground, a little bit of shoot. You can walk, there will be cars going, there will be buffaloes walking through, children will be playing, you know, people may be passing stool there, whatever, right? So you're very vulnerable. That sapling is vulnerable. So Mahaprabhu gave the idea of fencing it, right? And therefore we talk about protection. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Rakshamam. Please protect. Therefore, to acknowledge our vulnerability is actually to be on the path of progressive spiritual life. And this is exemplified in the birth of Sri Krishna. But when Krishna is born in this world, before he is born, his 6 brothers are killed. Beginning with Kirtiman, his first eldest brother. They are killed mercilessly by this cruel-hearted Kamsa. And then of course Balramji Maharaj comes, 7th child, who is ruining Nandan, but he happens to be coming through the womb of Devaki and then getting transferred in 7th month to Rohini Devi. And then when he is transferred, it's proclaimed as a miscarriage, and then Krishna, the all-attractive, all-beautiful, all-merciful, Param Satya, Trisatyam, eternal absolute truth, he is born in this world. The one whose Aja is born. So why are 6 brothers of Krishna himself killed? How terrible is that? Acharyas have this unique power that Krishna gives them to really decipher, analyze, and figure out why things happen the way they happen. There's a keen sense of spiritual insight to understand what the Lord wants to teach us through all these important episodes. That's why you worship our acharyas, because they can see what you and I cannot see. We didn't know why Bhishma Dev is fighting from opposite side till Prabhupada told us. We were told that, oh, namak haram. Oh, namak khaya hai. It's got namak khaya hai. We were told like that, because namak khaya is that side. No. This is what the world still thinks today about Bhishma Dev, that because namak khaya hai, Duryodhan ka toh is fighting from that side. He didn't care about this namak business. He was self-sufficient. He was Atmaram. He didn't care about taking shelter of this rascal's palace. He didn't care. He knew in his heart of hearts he had a role to play in this world. And he surrendered to that role, even though he is unpopular, condemned for more than 5,000 years now. Right? So, the 6 sons of Devaki are called the Shadagarbhas, are sons of, are considered as the sons of Marichi, Manasputra. Right? They represent lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion. Shadagarbhas. So, Devaki is going to such immense fear. Fear of Kamsa coming any time and massacring her newborn children. That fear, was that fear necessary and helpful? Is fear ever necessary and helpful? Is fear an important emotion to carry? Does fear have value in our life? Or something we note is very taboo. Fear has got great value. The fear of a war puts a soldier into a bomb shell. Right? If he goes in the open like that, he'll be smashed. He'll be finished. Right? The fear of disease makes you get vaccines. Everyone knows that. We all got vaccinated twice, sometimes thrice. People have fear. People are saying, when do I get, where is vaccine coming? Biotech. When is these people? Where are these guys making the vaccine? We want the vaccine. Corona will kill us. Right? We all went through that fear last 2 years. The fever is still sometimes lingering as the people are still not sure what they should do, not do. Right? So we all went through such immense, the whole planet went through mass fear. Everybody practically on the planet who was in human body was fearful. And nobody can deny that. Whoever you are, president of the US or beggar on the street, everyone was fearful. Right? Fear has value only to the extent it helps you to take shelter of someone or something which is truly worthy of shelter. If fear is not accompanied by that, then fear has got negative value. And when extreme situation turns into paranoia, and then further down it becomes a phobia. Right? So there are people who are phobic of corona disease. Phobic. They are washing their notes. When the notes comes from the grocery fellow, they are washing the notes and drying it in the sun. You know, washing each and every vegetable maybe dozen times, putting in the sun. There should be a virus sitting on the palak, you know. If I eat the palak, are you going to heat the palak on the gas? You're not going to eat it raw. The virus will die in any case. But the palak can cause virus. If I touch that palak, and then when the virus goes into my body, what will happen to me? Huh? Oh God, there's so much fear. They did not touch the lift. They didn't touch the knobs of doors. They were doing a kicking the door open rather than opening it in a normal way. You open the door like this. No. You kick the door because they're wearing shoes, wearing gloves everywhere, and double mask, shield, PPE kit. Everyone looks like an astronaut. So we went to so much fear. It's very familiar. These emotions are very familiar to us. Just a recent history. So the fear of Devaki made her more eager to shelter of the Lord's prophecy. The prophecy was that the eighth child will be the cause of the death of Kamsa. That was what she was latching on to. That was a promise that the Lord is going to come. We all have a promise. Paradise gained, paradise lost. We have a promise from Prabhupada. We have a promise from our spiritual masters that you will gain back not just paradise, but Vaikuntha is beyond paradise. We all have a promise. Mameti su Arjuna. Krishna has given so many promises in the Bhagavad Gita that you will come back to me. Puna jarma na vidyate. Promise. I will guarantee you will not get birth again in this world. Mameti su Arjuna, you'll come back to me. So many promises. But to encash on that promise, there has to be first sufficient fear of the vulnerability of our consciousness. Otherwise, we will not take shelter of Krishna. And that's the central point. So when Krishna says that the major disease of this world, of the spiritualist sadhaka, is complacency. Complacency is the it means there is overconfidence in your Krishna consciousness. Therefore, you stop taking shelter. I'm complacent. I'm chanting my rounds, you know, doing satsang. Everything is fine. Teach all right. How are you doing, Krishna? Routine. Everything is fine. As they say, coasting along. The phrase in English called coasting along. You see, if you stand on the bank of a shore, and there are some flowers and some whatever straw, just goes inside. But you know, when the wave recedes, it goes inside. When the wave comes, it comes like this. It goes inside, it comes out. It's just aimlessly going in and out. You know, it's not doing anything. It's not going deep in the ocean. It's not coming on the shore also. It's just in and out. like that. It's just coasting along. Like that. So we may be doing that in spiritual life also. Just coasting along. Badu saruche. Everything is going on fine. But we are not taking shelter, then we are not moving forward. And that shelter business is powered by the engine of genuine fear of loss of Krishna. Like you lose one. A cricketer is worried, the ball may hit my head. He wears helmet. Or it might break my knuckles. So he wears gloves and pads. And only then he starts batting. It's fearful. So he takes shelter of his gloves and helmet. Right? So, similarly, we also as sadhakas, in a natural vulnerability. And what affects the consciousness the most? Which is the worst disease which affects consciousness or our minds? For sadhakar, the worst and the most dangerous disease is false pride. And therefore, when the Lord comes in this world as Balaramji, He performs a series of pastimes which enhances to the sadhakas, like us, the value of this particular anartha very strongly. And hey, my dear devotees, I love you all. But please be careful. As we turn well-wisher, I tell you, your worst enemy, which will infect your consciousness and destroy it, is going to be false pride. So here you have Dvivida Gorilla, who is Lord Ramchandra's associate. He is his parshad. Dvivida Gorilla is Ramchandra's confidant. And he did things which very few people could do in terms of bringing back Sita and waging the war against Ravan and all his allies and his armies. He was extremely powerful. He and his brother Mahinda, they did great things for Lord Ramchandra in the war. Yet he had a little bit of misgivings towards Lakshman. He loved Ram, but he neglected. He felt, he was hit by Indrajit, this Nagpash, doesn't look like a very special fellow. He's vulnerable. Right? So he undermined the position of Lakshman, and therefore he, in his heart, in his mind, he disrespected him. And that disrespect for Lakshman was an infection created by his superior, his pride. So he looked down upon Lakshmanji, was worthy of his respect, love and worship. And that led to vulnerability in such a way that down the line through the ages, after Treta Yuga war was over, he became susceptible to the association of other asuras. Rather than being in the company of suras, demigods, divine people, holy people, saintly people, he now got attracted to Banasur. Right? And actually, when we read his story in the 10th canto, we find that he did something so despicable. Right? So horrendous. That the only way he can be stopped from all his nefarious activities is Lord Balaramji had to kill him. Imagine the associate of Lord Ramchandra had to be killed by Balaram. What was his offense? False pride. Next time when Balaramji also, there's a beautiful episode about Samba's marriage with Lakshmana. Right? Lakshmana is going for a Swayamvara. And many people, many heroes have gathered to show their prowess, to attract the attention of, you know, Lakshmana. She is extremely beautiful. She is the daughter of Duryodhana. Right? So everyone is showing his valor, his courage, his chivalry. So she will be attracted to him. She was very beautiful. Everyone handed her hand in marriage. So Samba said, I don't want to go through all this. She is very beautiful and I want to have her in marriage. She is the son of Jambavati. Samba. He just kidnapped her. He just kidnapped her. And then the Kauravas get very wild, very, very wild. And they attack him. 7 Maharathis attack him. Garuda and all these people, Bhishma Dev, everybody else, and Dronacharya, Kripacharya, everybody else, they attacked him. And one Maharathi, Samba is not an ordinary person. He's not just some loafer on the road. Right? He's a son of Krishna. He is very powerful. And Kshatriyas do kidnap. Why? We don't do it now in Kali Yuga. So nobody should take any liberties with Shastras. You can kidnap any girl from somebody's house. That's not the way of getting married here. It's only for Kshatriyas. And there are no Kshatriyas. Prabhupada said in Kalashudra Sambhava. We are all Shudras. So we don't have a right to do that. So he did that. That was like Krishna kidnapped Rukmini. We know that's God can kidnap somebody. You know, this must be bona fide. But that was something in the bygone ages. It's very, very far away in history. We don't do it now. But anyway, the whole story is like that. He's surrounded by Marathis. He's defeated. 1 man against 8. Couldn't fight them. He's taken back and kept captive. And Balaramji and all the Yadus, when they come to know, Narada Muni goes and reports this to Krishna and all the Yadus in Dwarkapuri. He said, you know what happened? This is what happened. What nonsense. So Yadus are very powerful people. They said, let's wage a war. So they coming government to take a war. A war would take place with the Yadus and the Kurus. Balaramji's, you know, his heart was with Krishna, with Krishna's wives. He loved them all. His brother, his bhabis, he loved them all, obviously. But he also had his heart, half the heart also, he also loved Duryodhana, right? He said, there'll be a war. My very dear disciple, his daughter is getting married. I don't want to see my disciple like going on. So anyway, he said, I'll go and mediate. So he goes and mediates. Tries to mediate the whole discussion. But when he goes to mediate, they treat him with such disrespect. Right? When he says that you should return back, first he says, you know, speak nice words. You are wonderful. You are this. You are that. But when he comes to the point, Balaji, why have you come here? He said, you have to return back Samba and Lakshmana. But he says, oh, the shoes. The shoes I want to sit on the head now. You people have your kingdom of Dwarka because of us. We gave it to you. We are emperors here. And they speak so many great words about their own, what they are doing. And they really, really insult Balaramji. Why would somebody insult Balaram? It can only happen because of false pride. And Balaram is not one who would actually lie low and just accept this. He took out his plow. Took his plow and just hit it in the ground. Right? And he pulled the entire city of Hastinapur. Right? And made a pathway to throw the whole city into the Ganga. And suddenly the whole palace starts moving. Everything in the palace is moving. Everything is falling. Chandeliers, pillars, everything is falling. The whole city is moving en masse like a huge ship. Like a huge cruiser is just entering into the water. And then they realize, oh my God, we are doing something just terrible. Right? So then, without Chamatkar, no Namaskar. You know, they say in English sometimes. So first Chamatkar, then Namaskar. So, we are sorry, we are regretful, we didn't understand your powers, blah, 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 blah. We regret our misbehavior. And of course, Balaram is like, when Balaram is angry, you know,
Balaram is Balaram.
He is Balaram, right? He has Bala. He can destroy. He creates and he destroys effortlessly. He is as Mahavishnu, just creates effortlessly. He just glasses and he creates. That is Mahavishnu. Anyway, so they put Samba in front, Lakshmana beside her side, and all of them are behind and said, here is Samba and here is Lakshmana. We accept. False pride. False pride. But even a more graphic analysis of Balaramji's nature comes up and he goes to Naimisharanya, where something very, very special happens. And we won't go to the detail of the story. It is extremely instructive how false pride destroyed somebody. So here is a person who is sitting on the Vyasasan in Ms. Ramarshan Sutta. And he's blessed by all the sages. All the sages are sitting there and said, Ayushman Bhava, we bless you with a long life. And keep narrating to us all the various histories, itihasas. He's a direct disciple of Maharishi Vyas. Balaramji enters the arena, walks. Everyone gets up. Balaramji has come. Any respectable person comes. And if Radhanath Swami or Srila Prabhupada or some Swami were to enter the sannyasi, first you will have to get up and do dandavats to him, right? That is Guru's position. But everyone knows he is Balaram is Adi Guru. But everyone gets up except Ramarshan Sutta. This may look to us as not a very serious offense. Because the rational mind thinks, usme kya hai? Usme kya hai? But what Balaramji did thereafter proves it was a very, very, very unpardonable offense. He walked up to him, took a piece of grass, kusha grass, and touched him. And killed him. Dead. Ramachandra is dead. For most of us, if you ask ourselves, we will feel Balaramji overreacted. Balaramji had false ego. Because he was not respected, he killed that person. Because he has the power to kill. So most of us may start thinking that Balaramji is wrong. But that defeats the axiomatic truth of bhakti is that God is perfect. The Krishna is perfect. What he does is perfect. And Balaramji and Krishna are non-different. If Krishna and Balaram has done something, it is the perfect thing to do. Because Balaram is Adi Guru. What did the Adi Guru, Adi Acharya, Guru of all Gurus want to teach us through this? With lot of knowledge. What was Ramarshan's problem? He had tremendous knowledge, tremendous Shastric understanding, analytical details, philosophy, itihasas, everything. If he was today available in Mumbai, the whole city would practically become his disciple. Such prakhar knowledge, Vidwan, Tejomai, austere, right? But the Lord looks at the heart. Not at your words, not at your profile, not at your knowledge, not at your tapasya. He looks at the heart. In the heart of hearts, he was infected with the infection of false pride. So without, when Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, when Vidya does not need to Vinaya, it leads to Vinash. Vidya will lead to Vinash if it is, does not lead to Vinay. That is the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. So, that Vidya of Ramachandra had to be led to his Vinash. It was destroyed. So therefore, when we as sadhakas become conscious that this lurking danger is there. If I become proud, Bible says very clearly, pride cometh before the fall. We must take it seriously. Pride cometh before the fall. Before you fall down, be sure that you are having a problem in your heart, and that was pride. As you would never fall down. A humble person never falls down. And a proud person always falls down. And Krishna hates pride in his heart of his devotees. Even if you are as powerful as Indra, he'll do something to smash you and bring you to the ground. So therefore, from this beautiful purport, we would like to derive this very important understanding that even if you are the Pandavas, whatever we are, we need to appreciate that the environment around us is there to infect us with lust, greed, pride, envy, illusion. And if you want to keep Krishna very safe with us, Krishna is our only treasure. Whatever treasure, what treasure do we really have? What do devotees really have? They know, devotees know for deep in their heart, they really don't have anything. The house they stay will go away, the family they are staying with will perish. The car which I am riding right now will become insignificant. Every devotee's heart knows that what I really have with me of value is Krishna. And that Krishna, being the most valuable possession of our life, must be protected. Krishna must be protected in the heart. Before Krishna comes, Balaram comes. So who protects us? Who protects the Krishna in our heart? Balaram, in the form of the spiritual master. His instructions, when we take initiation, the vows we take in front of him protect us from losing control over those four regular principles for which we are very vulnerable. Illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, intoxication is so natural to the modern man. Just spontaneously people go into illicit sex, meat eating and gambling. It's just everyone just gets attracted in a very natural way. It's just normal and natural. And we all are vulnerable to that. Right? But what protects us is Balaram in the form of a spiritual master who gives us, oh, you are vulnerable, you take vows. Your vow will protect you. So we take vows. And no respectable person ever gives up vows. No one. He's bound in front of God, in front of his representative and the Vaishnava community. No one gives up those vows. You stand by the vows and practice integrity. Even in the face of the highest temptations. That fear of becoming succumb to those, you know, in our fallible nature makes us take those vows. And the vows protect us. Our 16 rounds will protect us. They are a protection. Right? So therefore, the Vaishnava Sangha will protect us from outside influences. Right? Otherwise, Pralambasar will come. And Balaramji put him on the shoulders and took him right away inside. Right? So a lot of Pralambasars will come in our lives. Balaramji will kill them. False pride. Trinavarta represents false pride of scholarship. Separate Yashoda from Krishna. The demons take away Krishna from our heart. And Pralambasa took Krishna and Balaram away from each other. Vimasura took Krishna and the cowboys away. Ravan took Sita and Ram away. Separation. They steal. Upper hand. right? Kidnap. So let us always remain humble, cognizant of our fallible nature, and take even more deeply shelter of Krishna coming to us in the form of the Spiritual Master's instructions of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting our rounds nicely, doing Vaishnava Sangha, worshipping the deity, sort of the Lord's holy dhams, the holy kathas, and this way we'll remain protected from the evils of this world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna.